All right, so we're going to talk about oats this afternoon, and this is going to really, we'll break up the chabura into four parts. Now, the first part is going to be the big part, where we're going to talk about what exactly is shibboleth shu'al. Then the second part, we have to talk about the issue of something which is yachal avali de chimutz, because not all oat dough can become chametz, even if it can become chametz. The third issue we'll deal with is question of non-wheat matzah, and the fourth case, the fourth issue we'll deal with, and this will be kind of pekitzur nimratz, will be the issue of getting sick in the pursuit of mitzvos. And all these are relevant nowadays as we have more and more people with celiac, or people with wheat allergies, or wheat sensitivities, or gluten-free, and all those are different, and the differences between them will be important when we get to halacha l'maisa later on, but you know, you saw in Hungarian, they have now, before Pesach, these like massive piles of boxes of oat masses, which did not exist until only a few years ago, and now it seems like they're everywhere. So what is the deal with these? What? Well, Kenzuk, the box. The box says that they exist. Yeah, exactly. The box says, you know, it's like Manashevitz matzah, so there's also oat matzah. What is the deal with this? Why did it take so long for it to come? Why is it so popular? Why should it or should not be popular? What should we be telling people about this? So let's see. So we begin with the Mishnah, Psachim Daf Lamed Hey, which tells us that you can have matzah from five things: chita, sa'ora, kusmin, shifon, and shiboles shual. Now, if you pay attention, notice that the Gemara feels the need to explain what three of these are. Gemara doesn't need to explain what chita is, what sa'ora is. I remember they taught us the song about Eretz Chito Sa'ora, so when I was like in kindergarten already, we knew what wheat and barley were. But the other three apparently are not as common. So the Gemara tells us that kusmin is a form of wheat, and the Gemara tells us that shifon and shiboles shual are forms of barley. Then the Gemara gives Aramaic translations for each one of these, and the translation for shiboles shual is shivile tala. Rashi sends you to the Targum in Shoftim when Shimshon sends foxes around to burn the fields of the Plishtim. And Tala is Aramaic for fox. So this is the grain of the fox. So if we're trying to figure out what exactly shiboleth shual is, so far the Gemara has given us two clues. Number one, it should be a form of barley. Number two, there should be some resemblance to a fox. Right? And we shouldn't feel bad that we don't know by ourselves what this is, because the Gemara already had to clarify, right? Sounds like these were not super common grains. So you look at Rashi between the Mishnah and the Gemara. It's interesting, he doesn't explain what kusmin is in the Mishnah, but he does explain what kusmin is in the Gemara. Rashi says that kusmin is spelt. Shifon, Rashi says, is rye. And shiboleth shual, Rashi says, is oat. So that is where the famous oat comes from. Oat bread, mizonos anod, alamechia anod, all the nafkamina. What? Rashi says that shifon is rye. Rashi says that shifon is rye. Okay. So, right, and so far again, just from the beginning of the Gemara, we have two clues what exactly shiboleth shual is. And the Gemara gives us a third clue what shiboleth shual is as we go back to the Gemara, because the Gemara immediately asks, well, if it's only these five, then what about orez and dochan, rice and millet, which seem to be the other two popular grains at the time of the Gemara? And the Gemara explains, Menanimili, how do you know that it's only these five? And the Gemara says, very simple, we only have Dvarim HaBaim Lidei Chimutz. And apparently only these five are Baim Lidei Chimutz. If really, it sounds from the Gemara, there's no drasha, there's no Gzeres HaKasav per se for these five grains. Theoretically, if we found some other grain, you know, it was growing in the North Pole, that fit the bill of Yacholav Lidei Chimutz, in theory that should also be able to be used for matzah. But Basher Husham, we have five grains that are in. Dochen and Orez are out because they cannot become chametz. And the Gemara says it's not so simple when it comes to Orez, which we're translating as rice, because the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Chacham had a machlokes about Orez. The Gemara says that if you mix rice with water, it is not going to come to chimutz, it's going to come to sirchon. What that sounds like it means is, you know, you mix any grain with water, so you have the sugar that's in the grain, so it'll begin to ferment and bubble and expand. But what it lacks is it lacks gluten, right? The scientific explanation for this. So gluten is a protein which I've seen the comparison to like a rubber band. So it stretches, but once it's baked, so right, so now it's not it now holds, right? So, you know, once you have that stretched rubber band, it doesn't go back to the way it was before. And the protein of gluten, so it expands, but then it stays that way. And that is what causes your whey to hold its rise. And that's true also for the other classic forms of grain, masha'in cane rice. Now, you're never going to find fluffy rice bread. Why not? Because rice doesn't have any gluten. So you can get a kind of a sirchot. You're going to get some fermentation and some rising, but you're not going to get a holding fluff. Now, it sounds like orez is in some sort of gray zone, because Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says, look, something is happening to the rice. And Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says, that's going to be called chimutz. And the Chacham say, no, that is called sirchot. Right? So we notice coming out of the Gemara that all five forms of grain have something called chimutz. And we know that on the other side there's something called sirchon. And it sounds like there's some gray zone possibility which Rabbi Yochanan Nuri and the Chachamim are arguing about. So that's what we get out of the Gemara in Psachim Daf Lamed Hei. We know we have five grains to look for, and we have three hints when it comes to Shu'el HaShu'el. Number one, it should be a form of barley. Number two, it should have something to do with a fox. And number three, it has chimutz as opposed to having sirchon. Okay, then we move to the Mishnah in Challah, the beginning of Challah, which tells us what grains are you required to have Challah from. It's the same five grains. And the Yerushalmi gives us two deos where this comes from. It's kind of interesting what the two deos are. The first deya, this is not the one I think quoted like in the Kahati Mishnayos, but the first deya says, well, first the Torah tells us that it's going to be challah is mi lechem ha'aretz. So where does the Havamina, mi lechem ha'aretz, not kol lechem ha'aretz. So that sounds like some grain is in, or some bread is in, some bread is out. And the Gemara says, but there's a second pasuk which says you're going to bring mikol reishis arisoseichem, right? Any first dough. So the Gemara says, what's that coming to tell you? So milachem haaretz. If I only had one pasuk, if I only had that, I would have said chita and saora. If I had to say it's only some breads, my go-to breads would have been the main ones, right? Chita, saora, the only ones that our Gemara Pesachim did not need to define. But once I have reishis arisoseichem, that's going to include all other breads as well. What are those? Kusmin, shifon, and shiboles shua. Then the Gemara says there's another daya, which is that we learn from b'chachem milechem ha'aretz. That's what the Torah says by challah. So what exactly is lechem ha'aretz? The Gemara says we have hekesh between lechem by challah and lechem when it comes to matzah, just like we know that the lechem of matzah is our five grains from our Mishnah, so too is the case by challah. Then the Gemara in the Yerushalmi in challah asks, Taka, how do they know? How do they know that it's chita sa'ora shifon kusmin and shibola shuol? The Yerushalmi says, badku velo matzu, right? They did a, this is the wrong note over here, they did an experiment. I didn't see anybody flag this though, but it's a little bit of a strange lashon of the Yerushalmi. I don't know if you guys saw it. The Yerushalmi says, Barku Matsu, Shein lecha ba lidei matzav hametz ela chameshas haminim belvad. Sha'ar kol dvarim einen barn lidei matzav hametz ela lidei sirchon. So I was a little bit confused why the word matzah was in there. You could make flatbread of rice. So I'm not sure why the word matzah has to be in there. I'm not sure if it's a little bit lav dafka. But at any rate, the Yerushalmi clearly is telling us, you find a grain, right? You go to Whole Foods or whatever, and they dug up some new, ancient whatever for $20 a pound, and you know you have to have it, otherwise it's not going to be healthy. What? Exactly, pashit, you know, can't even say otherwise. And just do an experiment. Go experiment and see if it has chimutz or sirchon. These five fit the bill. The other ones do not. Okay. So that doesn't tell us necessarily so much new about Shibola Shu'al, but a little bit later, the Gemara does tell us one more interesting piece of information. There's a difficult pasuk in Yeshaya, which talks about the Sham, Chita, and then either Sora or Shora, and Seora is in there. It's not really clear how to understand the pasuk in Yeshaya. I think it's Parak Chaf Ches, pasuk Chaf Dalid. Like many pasukim in Yeshaya, it's very hard to understand what exactly the pasuk means. I think it's Parakhav Ches, Pasachav Dalet. Yeah. But it sounds like these are all different grains. If you open the Dat Mikra, so he'll have all the pictures there for you, all ready to go.
Famous Ezekiel bread?
This is not Ezekiel bread. No. No, that's in...
That would be in
Yechezkel.
That would be in
Yechezkel. Yeah, exactly. No, this is... And that stuff's also nasty. What? Ezekiel bread.
Really?
You can get it in Jewel. It's almost as expensive as old matzah and almost as tasty. Okay, so what is this Sora? Or I think if you open up a Navi, it's going to have a sin. But what is this Sora or Shora? So the Yerushalmi says... This is referring to Shiboles Shual, which is Asuya Ke Shura. It's made like a row, whatever exactly that means. Okay, so now we have a fourth piece of identification for us, what Shiboles Shual should be. It should be something which is in a row, that chimutz, barley, and something to do with a fox.
Is that the way they planted it, or that's the botanical region?
So one of the ways to understand the pasuk is that Shura is referring to wheat that was planted in a row. And they explain that apparently, unlike the common European way to plant wheat, which is you just fling the stuff around, they would have in specific rows. But we'll talk about, what the Rabbi Efrati's suggestion is, but pashas is that it's referring to the grain itself. Why would you plant Shual Shual differently than you plant the other ones? Especially because they're all supposed to be a barley, just like Shifo. Okay.
That's Yerushalmi.
Yeah, that's the Yerushalmi and Chala, right? So between the Bavli in Psachim and the Yerushalmi and Chala, we have four points of identification for what Shiboles Shual is. Okay. So then we go to the other main place that everyone quotes is this Mishnah in Kilayim, which tells us that you have different species, which very complicated why they are or they're not, but even though maybe they seem different, you are allowed to plant them together. You're not violating Kilayim. And one of the ones that the Mishnah mentions there, so it mentions Shifon and Kusmin can be planted together. And then it says that Seorin and Shiboles Shual can also be planted together. So that makes sense in light of our Gemara, which said that Shiboles Shual is a form of barley. It's a little bit surprising why Kusmin and Shifon can be planted together, because our Gemara said that Kusmin was a kind of wheat, and Shifon, our Gemara said, was a kind of barley. So Bishlam... Our Gemara said that Kusmin is min chitin, and Shifon is min seorin. So it's a little bit surprising that the Mishnah Kalayim says that those can be planted together. But it happens to be, so this is just an interesting parenthetical note, what is Shifon? So Shifon is classically understood, like Rashi said, to mean rye. That's also Mechokas Vishonim, and there are good reasons to think that it might not be rye. The Rambam in the Parash Mishnayos says that Shifon is a wild wheat. So Professor Felix, who we'll quote in a minute, he thinks that Shifon actually means emmer. You know what emmer is?
Wild wheat.
Is that? Emmer. This is Professor Felix. He suggests that emmer is wild wheat. There's a very Zionist history to emmer, because Aaron Aronson was the person who discovered emmer. He was involved in the founding of Neely, not our Neely, but the original Neely, which fought against the Turks during World War I. So he was one of the early Zionist heroes who died in a mysterious plane crash in 1919. People think he may have been killed by the British. There's a whole long history of that. But anyway, before he got involved in fighting the Turks and trying to help set up Eretz Yisrael, the Baron Rothschild set him up to study farming. So he discovered emmer, which was like the original species of wheat. So now emmer is popular. I actually had it last night, Maisa Shahaya, because they had a farro. Alexis made chicken with farro for dinner. They say the farro is emmer.
What is farro?
Well, you buy farro in the store.
Farro, like,
so
like farro.
F A R O R R O.
P-H-A-R-O.
It's a grain. The grain farro. The grain farro.
Farro.
Farro. Friend of Chama knows about it.
It
looks like a farfel.
What, you eat gazpacho with
chavis? Chas v'shalom. No. Hold on a second. What's farro? Hold on a second.
F-A-R-R-O?
F-A-R-R-O. Yeah, farro.
Farro.
Farro. Pharaoh. You know what it looks just like happens to be? It looks just like barley. But it's actually kind of wheat. Now, last night I had for dinner chicken and farro along with some leftover challan. So I got very excited in the middle of eating. So I was like, ah.
You compare what is the stuff that you gave me? What is the stuff that you gave me?
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. I had what you had. I told my wife made double. So what do you think? Was it good?
I thought it was, like, I don't know.
What do you think it was?
I don't know. I thought it was, like, far, like not so much a farro or something.
So it was farro. It was farro.
Never heard of this.
Okay.
Never heard of farro.
So it's good. It's healthy. It's healthy. And according to this website I looked up.
Is it Mazonas?
For sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it's Mazonas. It's kind of wheat.
Okay.
It's emmer wheat. But I'm just quoting this website, barley versus farro. What's the difference? The differences between barley and farro are minimal. Okay? V'chule, v'chule, v'chule. So it happens to be we have this old wild wheat and this barley, which look very similar, tastes very similar. So makes a lot of sense for those to be able to be planted together. Emmer. Yeah.
So
emmer.
This is the claim
emmer equals farro equals your dinner Sunday night. Exactly. So this is what Felix thinks sheaf phone was, which makes sense because rye is more northern grain. There's no again. There's no nafkamina for rye because rye is yachalav lidei chimut. So everyone's going to say you're going to make a hamotzi on rye and you're going to be mafresh challah from your rye. Rye might be the sixth grain that we have. That doesn't really matter. But that's just a parenthetical note about how to understand that piece of the Yerushalmi. If Shifon and Kusmin are barley and wheat, how can the Mishnah say that they go together, they're not kelayim? The important piece for us, though, is that the Rambam says, what is Sheboleshu? Well, he says that it is Sa'ura Hamidbaris, the Rambam. The Rambam says that Sheboleshu is not oats, like Rashi says. He says that it is desert barley, okay, which happens to fit our Gemara Pesachim and happens to fit the Mishnah and Kelayim, right? It really goes pretty well. There's a third view in the Rishonim. The Aruch has one daya, and the Meiri in his Parashan Chala, this is what he says straight up, that Shibola Shual is rye. So what Rashi thinks is Shifon, the Meiri, and the first day in the Aruch say is Shiboles Shual. Segala, which is the Latin. If you look at the Latin, it's Avena is the Latin for oats, and Segala is the Latin for rye. I saw the letter, very interesting letter, but the one that was written in response to Rabbi David Cohen's article in Journal of Tepere Halacha. So he quotes the Aruch and the Meiri as saying barley, but that's not true. They did not say barley. They said rye. Okay, right. So we have three main views in Rishon. The question is, what do we do with all of this information? So in like the 1980s, there was this professor, Yehuda Felix, who I think was from Jew.
No way, his name is not Felix.
I think it is Felix.
What? I'm sure I can get to the best of this. Really?
Pretty sure it's Felix. I can't confirm, but...
Okay,
I live in Arena, so... What are you going to say? I'm going to say it's Felix. And there's also this article from Rabbi Kreisler that was, Efrati quoted. So between them, right, they have all these different rayas. Professor Felix has this book, Hatzameach Ba'achai B'Mishnah. He also has a book, Hatzameach Ba'achai, I think, B'Tanach.
Where did he study?
I'm not sure if he was at Hebrew U or Bar-Ilan. I don't know. He's at professor of the universities. So they read about this stuff, and they put together all these tainas against oat being Shibola Shua. They counted five between the two of them. Some of the opposition to him was because he was like pretty direct that Shibola Shua was not oat. Like in one of his books, apparently he just labels it. He's like Pirush Mut'eh, and people get upset.
What does he say?
So we gotta say what he says it is. But let's just say why it's not oat, right? Five reasons why they say it's not oat, and then at the end of the chibur we'll give a sixth. But number one, they say oat didn't grow in the Middle East. Okay, both Rick Kreisler and Professor Felix say oat was not grown in the Middle East. So okay, that's not my field. I have no idea if they're right or wrong, but that's what they say. Number two, it's not a suya kashura. You look at oat. Where's the picture of oat? So. Right, it's like this weird, like a dangling thing. No. Yerushalmi says it grew in a row. Right. So this. Yeah. So one picture looks like a row. One picture doesn't look like a row, right? The picture of the oat is not. There's no row in the oat. At least that's readily apparent. There's also nothing like a fox. It's readily apparent. So.
Did you say the fox thing?
What? So it's kind of. I don't think either one of them said the fox thing.
Either
it could be.
Because
why?
Just
totally does.
Fox,
right?
This bushy one.
Yeah, what? The bushy one looks like a fox.
Yeah.
Pasha. So
this other one looks like it's old.
So, Maestro Chaya, we were in Rabbi Abadi's shul one Shabbos in Lakewood. Rabbi Abadi is one of the stark oats are not Shibula Shul people. He just makes a Hadama straight up. And, one of the Chavra asked about oats. And he just took one of those old Sidurim that has the pictures in it. And he just flipped the pages. It's like, look at these, and look at that. Close the book. I don't think our bodies watch Sesame Street. The rest of us have. So one of these things is not like the other. And it doesn't at all look the same. He straight up makes a Hadama on oats. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so Middle East.
You never met Reverend Fratzi in the dark alley.
Really, Felix, or me?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, you could say it the other way, too. Say it the other way, too. I don't know. Okay, so it's not a suya kashura. It doesn't look like a fox. It doesn't look like barley. And they say there's no chimutz for oats. Biggest problem, right? There is no chimutz for oats. And the whole process of making oat matzah is very, very difficult to do because there's no binding agent. It's very hard to make it into bread. So Professor Felix quotes this Rabbi Nassan Av Hayeshiva, who apparently was from Teiman, around the time of the Rambam. He says that it is two-rowed barley. So what is... This is Rabbi Nassan Av Hayeshiva. One of the Rishonim from Teiman, who appears on the Mishnah. He says it's two-rowed barley. This is probably what the Rambam also meant. What exactly is two-rowed barley? So, Bekitzer, there are two main kinds of barley. Classic barley has six rows, which means rows of grain, and then there's two-rowed barley, which Kishmokin, who has two rows of barley. Apparently, the two-rowed barley grows better in the desert, doesn't need as much water, which is why the Rambam called it Seora Midbaris. It has more sugar, less protein, so they like to use it in beer, because it's better for beer, not as good for eating, and so that's what they say is Shavuot Shul. It's Asuya Kishura. It looks like a foxtail. It like fits all the...
It was importantly...
And it has gluten.
Chametz, yeah.
Makes chametz. And it's a kind of barley. So it checks...
Which one? Two-row
barley. Two-row barley. So it checks off all the boxes, this two-row barley. And that's the suggestion that they make for Shiboles Shua. Okay.
Everybody
now,
would agree that the two-row barley is one of
the... Nobody is going to say that two-row barley is not one of the grains. The question is two-row barley Seora? Or is two-row barley what the Gemara called min sa'ora, i.e. shibola shuwal, right? That's exactly the trick, because the Gemara says this is a kind of barley. So when are we going to say it is barley, and are we going to say it's something else, which is min shibola shuwal, right? And this is exactly going to be one of Rabbi Efrati's tainas when he goes after the shibola shuwal people, or the two-row barley people. So Rabbi Kreisler says some of the nafkaminas here, Kilayim, Chala, then he brings in Chadash, which is a very big deal, because it's one thing to have Chumras, right? Saying Shibola Shual is wild barley is a Chumra, because now you can't plant your oats next to your barley. I'm sure you wanted to do that. You wanted to plant your oats next to your barley and next to your soil. Then we're going to be Machmer and say you can't do that, right?
Because
it's Kilayim. Because the Mishnah said you can plant your Shibola Shual next to your Seora. It didn't mean you could plant oats next to your barley. Oats don't look like barley. They have nothing to do with barley. That's kilayim. It meant two-rowed barley. Here, it's a stake. So, what? You can. Seora and Shibola Shual, you are allowed to plant together. That's first mission, kilayim.
But not oats.
So if oats is not Shibola Shual, then you cannot plant it together with barley. Which makes sense, because it doesn't look like barley, for crying out loud. And last, there are pachadash. Now all of a sudden we're getting into... What? All of a sudden, chadash are getting into kulas.
Yeah.
Right? So this is like, ooh, he just references, oh, I need to look into this. Now, he doesn't mention matzah. Why? Because they didn't have oat matzah, I think, when he wrote his article. This, the popular oat matzah is a much more recent phenomenon. So Rabbi Efrati, very close to the Rabbi Yashiv, learned in KBY for many years, I believe, right? So he unloads on Professor Felix, and this is printed in the Masorah Journal, the OU's Halakha Journal. He goes after Rabbi Kreisler and the poor journal, which from this Kol in the Old City, which printed his article. A little awkward because the first article in that volume, and it's the first line they published, this Sharei Tzion journal. So the first article in there is by Rabbi Yashiv, and then later on in that same volume is this Rabbi Kreisler piece. So he says, let's go through the rayas. Okay, number one, I want to say historically oats weren't grown in the Middle East. Come on, that doesn't work. You know, arguments from silence are never good arguments, and especially here where, like, you know, I'll find you some guy who said they did grow, and he says somebody says they do. So goodbye. That we don't really care. Okay. Asuya Kashura. So he quotes somebody who says, it means that they're tall. And an oat plant is tall. Okay, my Wikipedia research, that didn't really seem so clear, but that's the tiny he wants to say. Shura. That shura means it grows. I push back against that because the Gemara clearly thinks that it's a very helpful line. The Gemara is understanding that in time, that Yeshaya has a name for oats, which clearly references oats, lafuke, or which clearly references Shibola Shual, lafuke, other things.
It could just mean social. It doesn't have to be indicative of the anatomy of the plant.
What do you mean social?
Like, they plant corn a certain way in America right now. They didn't plant it that way 500 years ago. So they
planted differently than they plant wheat and barley?
I was talking about, though. I'm saying, like, it can mean anything, that phrase. It's like saying that the blossom is the color of the water. That phrase can mean anything.
Okay, I think it has to mean something compelling, and...
But they didn't say this is a synonym. We're taking it as a synonym. We didn't say it as a synonym.
You're right. The fox is a simmon, and the fox he doesn't address. He doesn't address the fox. Now he has...
Menachem claims... The foxes that he knows,
their tails. Okay, so Menachem was hanging out in Three Mile Island or whatever. So you're hanging out with like the nuclear waste foxes and
those foxes have to be those really big foxes.
Chernobyl foxes.
Fox.
Yeah. Okay. Now he has a great taina on why he doesn't make barley, because he says that's the point. He says the Mishnah is telling you chidushim. So the Mishnah doesn't have to tell me that two-row barley and six-row barley go together. It has to tell me that that oat and barley go together. So, okay. Menachem's a couple. Still, it's like, okay, it still has to make sense. I mean, why on earth are oat and barley? You have to explain, okay, it's a chiddush. You have to explain why they are in kelayim. So that's a problem. And then you have a bit of a problem because we have the chimutz test. Just do the chimutz test. The Yerushalmi said do the chimutz test. So, or Kreisler said he did the chimutz test and there was no chimutz. And Rafadi said he did the chimutz test, and there was chimutz. It wasn't as geshmak a chimutz as you have by wheat. Wheat has the most gluten, by the way. But it was it had a chimutz like barley. So it passed the chimutz test. Then he yells at Rabbi Kreisler. He's like, what, you're going to start talking about chadash? You might as well matir oats on Pesach. You know, once you're going down that road. Then he quotes the Rishonim, right? Rashi.
It's for sure Kenius because people are confusing.
So that's what I said to Shmuel the other day, right? I said if you're as long as you're Ashkenazi, this will be like the greatest Kenius of all time. But if you're Sephardi, so Rafati Ashkenazi or Sephardi?
He's Ashkenazi.
Ashkenazi. Okay. So he quotes Rashi, Rabbeinu Gershom and Menachos, and the Rush and the Maharil, who all say that oat is Shibola Shuol. And then he quotes Rav Moshe Feinstein. Second hand, but from, I think, Rabbi Zriel Auerbach, who says they could give me 1,000 rayas, and I wouldn't care. And he also quotes Rabbi Yashiv.
He goes all out.
What?
He goes all out against...
All out against the whole thing.
Rayas, and I wouldn't care, wasn't it?
Yeah, what was the exact line?
Striking.
Now, what's important to know, and first, I mean, this
I
is...
Mean, like, I love the Gemara in Yavamah, but I love the Gemara in Yavamah. Not only, like, you can't do, like...
says La'achrona shamati mi'agon Rav Azriel Arba Shlita b'shem Echad hamotzim l'or l'sefer maras mishnah. Okay, so it's so he's quoting Rav Azriel Arbach, who's quoting some publisher. Kila'achar hotzas a'sefer amar lo amran hagram Feinstein zachar atalak l'bracha b'zeh lashon. This is a third hand information. Afilu yaviu od elef rayos l'kach lo yuchu l'shanos es hamukubel b'klal Yisrael.
About oath or something else? That was like a model for like Kabbalah in general? Is that what you're making a motion? That like, is that from the Sora, that that's Sora, everything?
Yeah, no, this is in response to one of Professor Felix's Sfarim. So it's Professor Felix on the Oats Taina. Now again, it's important to emphasize though, at least for this Nakuda, that are we talking about these Shailas L'Hakol L'Hachmir? Right? Because one of the big issues for Oat Matzah is that this is a Kula. Right? We're now going to fulfill our mitzvah d'oraisa of achilas matzah, our one mitzvah d'oraisa of eating all year long, with this debated grain, right? So it's important to, you know, emphasize when we're quoting the postgame what exactly was the shaila that was being discussed.
You see how
Oh yeah, yeah. He gives no ground. He gives no ground. The question is, how compelling are the answers to the raya? So if the chimutz test works, which is okay, there's mitzias machlokas, so that's one thing. He doesn't talk about the fox, and then whatever you do with the Mishnah in Kilayim, and the fact, he also doesn't address the fact that the Gemara called it min se'orin. I don't know how he's, I guess I'll just say, yeah, it's a form of barley somehow. I don't know what he's going to do with that. So he said, Rabbi Abadi said straight up, you make a hadama. Or Sternbach in that tshuva also. And that's a celiac tshuva for matzah already, so we have to be concerned that it's that oat is not shiboles shuel. So on the other hand, most, you know, classically you'll see presented Rabbi Yashiv and Rishol Zalman. I think the Rav they quote is ignoring the Professor Felix book, and they quote Rav Moshe on this. So you know, most post game will probably tell you that that shiboles shuel is oat, but. There's another side. Now, there's also a middle possibility, which if you saw in the piece from Rav Mordechai Willig, so he has a very, very clever piece to try to explain what exactly is going on over here. So just a piece of background as to the history of oat matzah. So there was a Rav, I think it was also had some scientific training in Manchester, I believe, in the 1980s, who had a daughter who had celiac. Before celiac became cool, he had a daughter who had legit, all-out celiac, and he wanted her to be able to eat matzah for Pesach. So he tried oats, because he knows that oats don't have gluten. The problem is that he couldn't get gluten-free oats. Now, why not? Oats should not have gluten in them. The problem is, oats are always planted near grain. And if you look at this online, it's hilarious, because the whole gluten-free chevra, it's mamash you're reading a kashrus agency. Because they're like, even if you don't buy our special approved, super expensive gluten-free oats, you buy it from the mass manufacturers. They do the same factories as the gluten, as the wheat, and the blios of the gluten.
For gluten,
so
it's
hilarious. It is really hilarious. But so finally, he found this some of these
guys. Nice.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, Mishas Harisha even. Yeah. So he found this patch of soil in the north of England, which was virgin soil, uncontaminated, and they were able to produce there some shtickle of gluten-free oats for his daughter back in the day. So, but normal oats had some gluten in them because of the cross-contamination. Yeah, no, 100%. That's exactly why, because that was the home base. That's where this was happening. Exactly. So, so Rav Willig comes along, and he says, now we can explain what is going on with Rashi. Rashi knows the Gemara. He knows that there has to be chimutz. So what exactly is Rashi going to say? And how could it be that these two Rabbanim here did the chimutz experiment, and one of them had chimutz, one of them didn't? So he says it's very simple. Rashi's talking about gluten oats. And Professor Felix is talking about non-gluten oats. If you have oats which are contaminated with gluten, so that fits the bill. And that's what? Exactly. And so you'll make it's a regular, that's one of the chamish mine dagan. And it's gonna rise, and that's what Rabbi Efrati was using. And if you have gluten-free oats, then it's you can't use that for matzah. He thinks he's talking in there about bracha, so he says he still would make a mazono. So that's a whole other question: when you make a mazono, when you don't, because he says it's still a mazon. But that's the suggestion.
Do you think mazono is all oats?
So I didn't read the whole piece. As of Os Beis, you would make mazonos on all oats. But you would not be able to use all oats for matzah. Now, the sad news nowadays is that it would dafka be the oat matzahs they sell in the store, which you cannot use for matzah, because the oat matzahs are gluten-free. Right. So that's the suggestion. It's a huge chiddush. It's also very difficult, because it doesn't answer all the rayas besides chimitz. And you also have to wonder... Oh, please. And you also have to wonder, does it have as geshmak a chimutz as, even if it's gluten-contaminated, but it doesn't have as much chimutz, gluten as the other species. So, we were talking to Rav Schachter about this on Friday. He assumed that what happened was there was a sirchon. It was a sirchon. We know from the Gemara that you have a gray zone between sirchon and chimutz where Rabbi Yochanan Nuri and Chama were arguing about orez. So Kreisler had oats with less gluten in them, so it was very obvious that this was nothing at all. And then, they showed Refradi and Rav Yashiv, they did the experiment, and they had regular oats that didn't come from super-duper Manchester, whatever, and those had a shtickle gluten, so he had some rise. And so, okay, that's how he explains what's going on. Right. Rav Schachter assumed, he assumed, like the Pashas in the science, that Shibola Shuel is not oat. Okay, so...
Say dinim
in oats.
No, but there is a spectrum. Well, we know that there's a spectrum of gluten. All of the grains have different levels of gluten, and they all are not.
So I understand. I'm saying that the idea of the degree people are doing their chemo's test, there is such an idea in the Gemara that a chemo's test does not have an absolute answer, but that's, we're not trying to measure, is this here?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds that you do the chemo's test, and you can now tell if this species is chimutz or not, right? According, I would love to ask him. According to Rav Willig, like the Yerushalmi, there should have been a major footnote. You do the chimutz test, but when it comes to Shibola Shual, where it's not natural gluten, then you have to do a case by case test.
Unless the
The assumption is it was all contaminated.
But in America, it was all contaminated until you know that Cheerios were not gluten free until like 5 years ago.
Right, it was exactly. They had to right. Exactly the same reason that they had to do the whole thing in Manchester.
Right. So
right? They had to. It's a good point. It's a good point.
There's gray rub. They take the gluten properties of the things around it.
Meaning it's literally like you're planting the same field, so you'll get from the soil.
The soil. Yeah. Yeah, the soil. Like gluten, it's like...
Sticky.
Mifafea.
It's sticky.
Yeah, it's mifafea, the gluten. Yeah. There's no rotev, but...
The bees bring it.
You can't stop the gluten. Okay, so... So that's the bottom line. The rayas for the Shibola Shul not being gluten, the counter arguments, and some of the poskim coming out on this nowadays. Okay, so the next major issue is the problem of Yachal Lavo Lidei Chimutz. So I don't know why this is, but for whatever reason, oats need to be toasted before you work with them. If you just take your raw oats and you make oat dough, yeah, apparently it's very, very bitter. That's what the article said, right? So no problem. So toast your oats and then make your oat matzah. What's the problem? Problem is, if they're toasted first, they cannot become chametz, right? Because the toasting is going to schmeister any gluten, which doesn't exist in gluten and oats, but it's going to schmeiß to your gluten, and then it can't stretch, right? That's how the gluten works, and it can't stretch in leaven anymore. So is that a problem or not? So the kitzer, as this article from Rabbi Zenger pointed out, kitzer is that it's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Gemara, also there, very, very happening, daf, on daf lamed hem and aleph and psachim. So quotes Reish Lakish is saying you can't make chameh, you can't make matzah with yayin shemen or dvash. The Gemara there also said that you need grain, which is yachalav ulidei chimutz. The Gemara also there said that Reish Lakish's grain is a problem. It's a problem of matzah ashira. So what exactly the Gemara means? Are those different dinim? How to parse that all out? The Rishonim disagree about. So the Ramban says it's very simple. Our Gemara told us you need something which is yachal lavo lidei chimutz. So that means that rice is out. That means that millet is out. And that means that meperos are out. Because just like I need the flour to be able to be machmitz, I need the liquid to be able to be machmitz. I need dough which has the potential for chimutz. That is what the Machamo says. If that is the case, then oats are going to be out anyway because you have to toast them before you can prepare them and they're not going to be able to yavoli dechimas. The Rambam, though, seems to disagree because the Rambam allows matzah from meperos. He only rejects matzah from yayin, shemen, and devash. The Magen Mishnah points that out. And the Lacha Mishnah explains that the Rambam thinks that yachal yavoli dechimas is not a din in the dough, rather it's a din in the species. So orez and dochen are out, but any species which is yachal lavo lidei chimutz is going to be in. The Prima Gadim talks about pre-toasted grain for matzah, and the Prima Gadim says it doesn't work. The piece there quotes the Chayadam, who says we can rely on the Rambam b'shas harchak. Presumably our celiac people would be begader shas hadchak. And so this article argues that we could come out lakula. Now, good news and bad news. The good news is that they've since improved the process, the technology advanced, they could figure out how they can make oat matzah without pre-toasting. So this whole shaila falls by the wayside, because now they have oat matzah, which is yachal lavali dechimutz, even though it's not yachal lavali dechimutz, because it doesn't have gluten. And by the way, I don't know if you ever tried a piece of oat matzah. I don't recommend it. It's like particle board. Because you can taste, the flour doesn't bind, so it's like it tastes literally pressed together.
Pressed wood.
Yeah, and it has no flavor, and it's a very interesting texture. It's very, very different from, I guess, anything else I've ever tasted before. It's like if you imagine like a granola. Exactly, so I'm sensitive to texture. But if you imagine like a rolled oats granola bar, but in like that, but in soft flatbread form without all the sugar they put in there.
Yeah, exactly.
And for literally 30 times the price. But one last hour on that point that he doesn't make, and I haven't seen people make, but I think they should, is that this, at least Lefi, the Ramban, and the Prima Gadim, is another raya against Ribola Shual for oats. Because if it's mamish inedible, unless you pre-toast it, it's like vile and disgusting, then how is this one of the chamisha saminim that's being used for matzah?
Well, why can't it? You have to discuss matzah.
Yeah, maybe they think
of this
gross.
I mean, the Gemara talks about lots of versions of discussing matzah. They make like the matzah baked onto the ground and dirt. Like, it's lachamoni.
I don't know. I mean, if it was, I haven't tasted it, but it sounds like it's bad enough that nobody in this whole Indian said, why don't we just man up and have bitter oat matzah. It sounds like it was really bad. Otherwise, they wouldn't have sweated about this whole issue so much. It was like it needs to be toasted to be edible. So, got to check the metzias. If it's not that bad, then maybe. But I just wanted to point that out. Okay. The last issue on this where we get to chuli is can we use something which isn't wheat at all? Because the truth is, the Ramban, the very first Ramban we saw in Simen Tufna and Tafnam Gimel, Sif Aleph, Sikot of Maril, who said, L'chatchila, you should use wheat. Don't use any other min, use wheat. So the Minchas Yitzchak picks up on this, because what is the reason? They asked him, they asked the Minchas Yitzchak, about celiac people with different options. So at first, he couldn't believe that you have people who Amish couldn't eat wheat. So he said, well, there are two reasons why you can't, for this minhag. Number one, Mishnah Berurah says it's the spitzest of the... Why wheat? So Mishnah Berurah says it's mehudr. Wheat is the nicest grain. So what? So Mishnah Berurah says it's a hidr to have wheat. Okay, so if it's just because it's mehudr, we can live with that. But then Mechas Yitzchak quotes the Maharsham, who says there's another reason for the minhag, which is we are so worried about chimutz and matzah. We don't know what we're doing when it comes to making matzah with wheat. So we have, for many years, we know what we're doing. We know how to make matzah from wheat and have it not be chimutz. Other species of grain, which are pretty weird species, which they don't really use, so we don't have the same mesoras. We're not as confident, and so we should avoid using wheat. So avoid using non-wheat. So he was makel though once he heard about the celiac people in Rav David Cohen's article. So he says, oh, you know, by now they've been making these matzahs for many years. So initially maybe we had to sweat it, but by now they're pros. They've been doing this for 40 years. They know how to make old matzah. This is nogeh though for spelt matzah, because they also have the spelt matzah in the stores, which actually tastes delicious, but it's not wheat. So those are those three main issues. So just let's pause for a second and see where we're holding now, and then we'll talk about choli. So choli min hanal, right? So
this wasn't. We only had one rabbi story.
I promised one. Just one rabbi story. All you passing that of a sitter. Okay, for him the chabur was 10 seconds. All you need is a sitter. Psak, done. Go home. We're not having oat matzahs. Making hadam. So, okay. I have not been at a sitter party yet, but you were at a sitter party, so any kids of yours, they graduate sitter party. What? Some of these sidur, you know, some of these sidur room, they have, like, in the back, they have the pictures of, like, the different grains of Eretz Yisrael.
Yes.
Right? You've seen those.
Yes.
So they had, like, the fruits, they had, like, the pomegranate, and they had the olive, and they had the five grains, and it was like, you know, here's wheat, and here's barley, and here's rye, and here's... And here's spelt. Those all look the same. Then you have this weird bush thingy with, like, you know,
Menachem's
fox, Hashem Yerachim, you know, Rachmanos and the fox. Yeah. Yeah. So if we talk about, like, the different people that all this is shaykh for, because the reason we're spending time on this these couple days is that it is now super, super nogei lemaisa, because you have all these boxes of oat matzah everywhere. So for somebody who is just on a gluten-free diet, lishma, because, you know, that's the thing. And I think that seems to be who they're marketing the oat matzah for, because all these boxes and boxes and boxes of oat matzah they're selling in the store, lechora lali is being sold to, like, the gluten-free movement now. It could be a wonderful movement. Could be it's very, very healthy. But for that to get into a major shaila about this seems... very iffy. Now, the truth is, we've seen a very parallel issue, right, when we talked about Mara.
That matzah is being sold
For sure. Yeah. It's only being eaten for matzah smitzvah.
No one's paying whatever the cost is.
You buy three. There, exactly. It's three matzahs in a box.
Three matzahs in a box.
And it's like $35.99 because it's very hard to make.
Now, maybe some of this is coverable China. Are these, and let me ask you this before.
Yeah.
These boxes that you see in the supermarket,
yeah.
Are they British oats or American oats? Because if they're American oats, then the Hever can China look.
So that, but that Matthias is a little dated. In other words, now the Lakewood Matzah Bakery, which I think is what they call themselves, the box, so the American oats have become British oats. Like Menachem was saying, Cheerios now has the gluten-free Cheerios, so they've... Yeah. They've been able... You don't have to go to the north of Scotland to get gluten-free anymore.
You've lost that.
Why?
Yeah, it's not
contaminated. Oh, yeah, no, it's mamish. It's gluten. That's what I said. I said even for Willig. Willig would say you can't use the oat matzah because it's mamish gluten-free. So we talk about this with chrein. Right? We have the same issue with chrein for Mar, where you have the same basic spiel, right? Where, like, we have... hundreds of years of people using chrein, or people saying that chrein is marah.
Yeah.
But you know, now the recently there's been mafakfik on this. But
I'd say those pikpukim are older than Professor Felix by like a good 150 years, and they come from people with big beards and big bayas. So they're much more.
Well, that's not, some of these pikpukim do too. However, the pikpukim, why are the pikpukim older?
Because it is not going to probably be older.
Why did it take so long to have pikpukim on oat matzah?
I don't know.
Oat matzah didn't exist until 40 years ago. Exactly.
Right. Because there wasn't a chance to make it. No one
exactly. Right. So you have three reasons why, even if you're a chreniyid, you would be much more hesitant on the oats. Number one, it's the raisa versus the rabbanim. That's the big one. Right. Number two, for 500 years, we have the stories of the gra, you know, dicing, grinding his mar when he got home Friday night. So if the gra used chrein, I could use chrein. Leil Yontif, right? If the gra could use chrein, I could use chrein, and as opposed to oat matzah, which didn't exist until 40 years ago, because you can't really make oat matzah unless you spend years researching and try very hard to figure out how to do it. So the minute to use it, even though the mesora for shibala shul as oat goes back very, very, very far.
It's not a mesora with mice.
Exactly, exactly.
It's like and the Yovel and Shmita.
Well, it depends, because the Chayyadim says... On the other hand, the Chayyadim of the Brachos says...
Right, but for brachos purposes. But that's not a mitzvah d'oraisa, right? So
when did the Quaker man appear on the box?
Yeah. I don't know. when is he going to be? He's probably going to be canceled soon. One of these days. He's getting canceled. Yeah.
I think they're looking at a G, but I think he was like a student at the Brisker Rappers.
Let's get start calling him Quaker.
Quaker. Yeah.
No beard. He has no beard. He's a nozer with no beard. Anyway.
So then, besides you're gluten free, so you have two main groups of people. So you have people who have what they call a wheat sensitivity.
People don't eat oat.
What do you mean?
Which people?
Only weirdo people.
No, but time out. They sell it in the store. Uh-huh. So people are clearly buying it. Uh-huh. Right?
Someone's buying it.
Question is, who's buying it, and should they be buying it? Uh-huh. So, ma'od yitachin, that if someone is just gluten-free, he should not be eating oat matzah, right?
What should he eat?
She eat matzah.
One kazayas of matzah.
Eat a kazayas of matzah. Eat some, exactly. Say it.
He told us the story a few times in the past, and he repeated it on Friday, that Rav Schwab at the end of his life had some kind of digestive issue, and he did not eat any cake or cookies or hamotzi or rolls the entire year. And the only gluten, it sounds like he ate.
The only gluten, yeah.
Was one kazayas of matzah the first night and one kazayas of matzah the second night. And he told Rav Schechter that the first night, because of the gudaraisa, he ate a chatzi beitza size kazayas, and the second night he ate a shlish beitza kazayas. So that's what a person would do. No,
Schwab. Yeah.
And then your stomach will hurt him.
Ah, yes. So we'll talk about that in a minute. We'll talk about that in a minute.
So the way Rav Schechter said it on Friday is that Rav Schwab said that he thought that the doctors assumed that that would not be a problem to eat that small measure of gluten once a year.
Right, so that's why it depends what the medical condition is. I don't know what Rav Schwab's condition was. There are many people who have I have a relative like this, but a wheat sensitivity. What's celiac? Celiac is an allergic reaction to gluten. So the gluten is in the body, and then the body attacks the gluten, right? And that's you're physically harmed because there's a immune reaction going on. I don't know why people are allergic to. People are allergic to peanut butter. People are allergic to gluten. It's an allergy. Exactly. It's just an allergy. You also have people who have. So there are different levels of that allergy, just like anything else. And you also have sensitivity, which can have nothing to do with gluten. It can have to do with the sugars that are in wheat. See, a lot of people, for example, who would get a stomach ache from eating wheat. However, two things. Number one, it's just they're having trouble digesting it, so it's unpleasant, but then it passes. Number two, they might feel much better if instead of having wheat, they have spelt. Because spelt is does have gluten.
Do they have
post-fertilizer?
I don't know. It has gluten, but it has a different carbohydrate makeup than wheat does. So, like, yeah. So the spelt is, like, much more digestible. It has more fiber, and the sugars are different. So a lot of people that, I don't know if...
Have you seen spelt matzahs?
What?
Have you seen spelt
matzahs? Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're sold right next to the oat matzahs.
They're much cheaper.
And they're much cheaper, and they're delicious. It is really good. Excellent matzah. Excellent matzahs. Try it.
Are they cheaper than the regular matzahs?
No, more expensive. They're not going to bankrupt you. I mean, they're all going to bankrupt you.
In between.
Right? Stam matzah will bankrupt you. Spelt matzah will bankrupt you more, and oat matzah will bankrupt you the most. But they sell those, like, it's a box with, like, matzahs, and so you have that option for some people. Okay, and I wonder about spelt generally nowadays.
I worked in a factory, spelt factory.
Huh. Cool. So the problem, the hap with spelt, the reason why spelt wasn't popular.
Still has gluten.
So I'm saying the reason, like, why in the time of the Gemara, why are they like, what's kusmin? I have to explain. So we know from Hilchos Shabbos, right? What do you do to grain? So you cut the wheat, and then you do dush. And then you do dush, it breaks off the hull. And then what do you do after dush?
Zorah,
right? So you
chuck it in the sky.
You chuck in the sky, and then that the kernel, the chaff, flies off in the wind. And the kernel comes down to the ground. So that works for wheat. The problem is that spelt, the husk is much thicker, and it's really stuck to the kernel. So if you do dush, the whole thing, it's just gonna break off. But the actual husk is still gonna be there. So it was, in order to actually make flour out of it, you have to mill it, and it's a much more labor intensive process. This is why it was much less popular. The husk is thicker and it sticks to the kernel. So like Hilchos Shabbos, you know, dush and zorah, you can only do dush and zorah on wheat and barley. You try doing dush and zorah on spelt, it's not going to work. You're just going to, you'll have like a thick...
So what happens? How do you get the husk?
So you have to mamish take it to the mill, and instead of stepping on it and having your, you know, horse or ox run around, you have to crush it all by hand, and it's much more difficult to do. Nowadays, now we have machines, so you can get more of it. So that's why spelt matzah is now a thing, but it wasn't really a thing before. But spelt is gishmak. So I do wonder, vis-a-vis the Maharil, who said the charchila, you should use chita. So if you have somebody who just likes the spelt matzah better, so the Marsham, so I'm wondering, you have the Marsham, but you also have Rabbi Cohen saying, look, they've been doing this for years already. They know exactly how to do it. So do we say, like a Mishnah Berurah, that there's like an objective hiddur to chita? Or can a guy say, look, I like kusmin. I don't know.
Is it lighter than matzah? Spelt? It's thicker or is it thinner?
It's like, it's crispier. It's not as heavy in your stomach. It you know, all those digestive issues that you have with matzah, the spelt, it's a pleasure. It's like really good. Highly recommended. Okay, so this then gets us to the last issue, which is...
You can get spelt.
So that's what I'm wondering, right? You go to the store, you can buy the spelt matzah. You have a whole bunch of people who have a wheat sensitivity that the spelt is great for. The question is, would, if somebody is a regular guy who just thinks the spelt tastes better, could he lecharchila buy spelt for his matzah mitzvah? He said, Chav Adam Yosef. So you're saying that. So you're saying that's subjective. Maybe. Great.
And
interesting.
Like,
saying it's subjective.
And the people who are doing this, it's not because they have no other choice and it's really not how to recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
People
You're saying chaviv la'adam. I read it as like it's like chaviv la'adam, like a stam adam will tell you.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's the last? What's your take on the last line, where he says "Hechoshuv lo biyoser"? The last line of that Mishnah Berurah is clearly subjective.
Mm-hmm.
So, is that an extension of the first, or is it separate?
I don't know.
I would like it to be subjective. Why? Because I personally have stopped.
Ah,
yeah,
fair. Why?
I just grew up with that, so.
Huh.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
How long has it been around?
Since before I was married, for sure. Like, wow. At least
10
years, yeah.
Uh-huh. Only 10 years makes sense. Yeah. Okay. So now we'll wrap up by talking about the issue of Tsar, right? You have one group of poskim says, large group, this is not an issue b'chol, because we assume shul shol is oat, eat the oat matzah, go ahead. But we have, this other possibility out there. Rav Shach told us on Friday, if someone is mamish a celiac, so he should just hear someone else make a bracha, and okay, it's part of the mitzvah. Now, right, the issue of should the guy get a stomachache, right? So this will just do mamish b'kitz or nimretz. So you have two main counter makaros in the Gemara. By sukkah, we know that mitzvah is patur min sukkah. The question is that just a din in sukkah, or is that a more kalistic din? On the other hand, they have this gemara nedarim, where Rabbi Yehuda says that he only has a little bit of wine for kiddush and avdala, and after avdala kosos, he has a headache all the way through Shavuos. So,
yeah.
Right, so
the wine.
What was the Yerushalmi about the wine?
That the guy has a headache from Pesach to Shavuos.
That was the Yerushalmi?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's also nedarim daf memtas. So the Machaber Pasuk seems to pass like a Gemara Nedarim, because he says that Chayav Adam Lidchok Es Atzpo.
What does it say in Nedarim? That person.
He says. I after I have my Dal Kosos, so this is my temples ache from Pesach to Latzeres.
Who said that?
Rabbi Yehuda. So that's not good. Now the Mishnah Berurah. Right there, so he has two comments on the Psak of Shulchan Aruch, and both of them indicate that he's being machmir. Because number one, he says, what exactly is the definition of dochik here? So he says, the person, if he's going to be nofel a mishkav, that's okay. We don't require nofel a mishkav. But if it's less than a nofel a mishkav, if he's getting a headache, then that he's going to have to do again for the dalat kosos. Then the Mishnah in the Sharat Siyun, he explains, why are you allowed to be makel in a case of nofel lemishkav? So he says, because that is not, he says it's pasha to him, you can makel for nofel lemishkav, because that is not derech chavis. So that sounds like, but derech klal, at minimum, we would require a tsar at a level below nofel lemishkav, and maybe even require nofel lemishkav if it's not dal kosos, where you don't have the counter svara of chavis. Apparently it is chavis, even though he's holding his aching head, but it's not chayr if he has to go to bed. But other mitzvahs, for example, you'd have to be more machmir. Now, people also quote the Mishnah Berurah Mara, but the Mishnah Berurah Mara really isn't clear at all, because the Mishnah Berurah talks about somebody who is im efshar mita'am briyuso. So if it's impossible because of his health, then the Mishnah Berurah says he should have a little bit, or he should just chew but don't swallow. But there's no indication what that means. E'ef shalom, mitam briyuso. You don't have to set that up as a stira with the Mishnah Berurah being born makel by mar. Maybe he meant e'ef shalom, mishum briyuso. It's mamish impossible for him. So the pashas, the Mishnah Berurah, really is that he's being pretty machmir. The other classic makar that's quoted in this context is a Maharam Shik. So Maharam Shik quotes the Gemara Yuma by Maram Sheik. I don't have it written down in my notes right over here, but I do have it open on my. I think it's Reish Samach. I think it's Aruch Chaim Reish Samach. Not Reish Nun Ches. I did a Bar-Ilan search and I thought it was in Reish Nun Ches. I was like, nope, wrong one. It's Reish Samach. So Gemara Yuma says Ki Yochal Prat Lemazik. Eating that damages you is not considered eating. Nafkamina the Gemara. Therefore,
where is this?
the Gemara in Yuma, Pei Amid Beis, says that ki yochal prat lamazik, if you eat in a damaging way, that's not eating, right? Nafmina for achila gasa. The Gemara says achila gasa is lav shmi achila because it is a form of hezek. So the Maharam Sheikh asks, so what was Rabbi Huda doing, getting himself a headache? Right? Prat lamazik. So he explains that it depends if the pain is going to come immediately or if it's going to come lachar zman. Makes a lot of sense, right? If it's the pain is coming immediately, then that is defining your maisa achila. The maisa achila, if it's a fagwa situation where you're stuffing it down, that's not a maisa achila, that's a maisa hezek. Masha inkin, person has too much to drink and they have a headache a half hour later, so it was a maisa shtia, and now it's a maisa shtia with consequences. So, if is the pain, exactly, is the damage immediate or not? If the damage is immediate, then that's not a maisa achila, that's a maisa hezek. But if it's delayed, that's a maisa achila. That's a maisa achila with you know, with headache. No, this is Maharam Sheikh. This is Maharam Sheikh.
Does he make allusions to the demon of
the Garmi
and
I was thinking about that, but no, he. I don't think so. So I don't think so.
Very interesting way of understanding. I would have thought that maisa achila with headache is determined by more objectionably, is this food and hefsa that is.
No, but the Gemara's example is maisa achila.
But it's not. It's
eaten. No, it's not disavailable.
Yeah, it's
you having eaten.
Right, exactly.
Now anything you eat.
But here, to apply it to a person who's, let's say, celiac or something like that, the actual chefs of kamos, ethos is all totally fine. It's just you that have a issue. It's not the food. You have an allergic reaction to that. So I would have thought that's not called. I would have thought that's called a regular mice that you look, but you just have an allergic reaction to that.
Well, if that's not the time delay, it is the time.
What? But that's exactly the Gemara Nedarim. Rabbi Yehuda did not handle wine well.
Right, so I would have thought that is a Maisa Achila.
Great, it is.
Depends whether it's immediate or not immediate.
So that's why Rabbi Yehuda drank Dalakosos.
Why?
Because it wasn't
immediate Hezek.
It wasn't called Maisa Hezek.
But even if it would have been immediate, I still would have thought that's for sure Maisa Achila, because that's your sensitivity to it, but it's not. It's nothing to do with actual.
Uh-huh.
Achila Gassa is the same thing. What do you mean?
Right, what's his name? Joey Chestnut from the hot dog context, right? So for him, that could be an achila. For me, it's a gasa, right?
Okay, so you're saying there's no objective amount of food either.
No, it depends on you.
Right.
If you only eat a little bit and then they give you extra.
How long is a celiac consequence? How long after eating?
How long does it take? I don't know. It must be sometime because it has to get into his intestine. What? Reish Samach.
That's the student of the
Chassam Sofer. Sim Reish Samach. Arachayim Sim Reish Samach. Wait, say it one time?
First, eat something and like immediately starts to break out, right? Which, right, obviously it happens. You're eating, you're doing your...
Right, people have a peanut butter allergy, right? It's like base of blia and already they can't breathe.
Yeah, so in such a case, you wouldn't make a bracha
corona. Or a bracha rishona.
No, say right after. Right?
Yeah, but you didn't eat. You hurt yourself, exactly. So there are a couple of interesting counter shitas, though, on this. There's a Besamim Rosh, which is always fun. So the Besamim Rosh, he says you can't bring a raya from Dalakosos to the rest of Halacha, right? You know, normally people learn Sukkah, and we're talking yeshivas, that Mitztair is a special din in Sukkah, Teshu Kein Taduru. So he says, no, you have to look the other way around. Go with the din of Mitztair Patamina Sukkah, and limit the din of Dalakosos. He says, I'll give you two things. Number one, if you machmer for dalkosos, because persuminisa. Persuminisa, so we really have to push ourselves to drink dalkosos. And he says, number two, and this is fascinating, he says, if somebody is going to be in pain, if somebody's going to be damaged physically, so he's pater because oseik b'mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah. What?
Amazing.
He is in the process of protecting his life, and that's a mitzvah, and so that gets him out of his chiyuv.
That's genius.
That's genius.
Isn't that a losa say?
What?
Isn't it a shmarat on a losa say? I mean, first it's not a mitzvah, but isn't it a losa say?
It sounds like an essay, no?
Shmartan?
Well, what do you mean?
Something
to do with
the
star.
Here,
I don't know. The postman talk about Hashavas Gufo. Flushing uses Hashavas Gufo. Okay, whatever. So good. Look at this. Now, there's a piece in Rabbi Chanan, which I saw quoted. This is wild. So he.
Do with the star.
What?
It's not the reason why.
Different tour.
Different tour. Yeah, different tour. Right. Yeah, exactly. I think I have to look back inside it. I'm not sure if he was explaining how Mitzvah is working, or if this is just, you know, is he universalizing Mitzvah, or is he saying that this is a different tour? I'm not totally sure. Rabbi Chanan is in Chelek Beis Simen Mem Vav, so he digs up a tshuva of the Gaonim, and the tshuva of the Gaonim says that if somebody is too sick to daven, so he and his Mishamshim are pater from tefillah. So the Rabbi Chanan is just like, wait a second, why are the Mishamshim pater from tefillah? So he says, this is exactly the Bessam Rosh. He says, the Mishamshim says, you learn Sukkah, I thought it was Teshu Kain Tadru. I thought it was a local Psak. Since the Mishamshim for the Chola are with him, so they're not living in the Sukkah, that's where they're pater. He says, no. The Chola and Mishamshav and Sukkah is a general din of Osik and Mitzvah Patur and Mitzvah. These guys, the helpers, are engaged in the Mitzvah Hashavas Gufo, so they will be Patur from Tefillah. Now, that's a little bit less of a Chiddush, because they're befoal taking care of the guy, as opposed to the Sulu B'Sam Rosh, where it's prophylactic. Exactly. So the Binyan Shlomo Mivilna, doesn't accept that line of the B'Sam Rosh. But he does say something else, which really does get picked up. I think Rav Shach mentioned this to us on Friday. So he says, we know we have a din of Vazvei Zal Yavazvei Yosem Mechomesh in pursuit of Mitzvah Saseh. So he says, if that's true for your money, so kol shakin for your guf. So now there are two basic ways to understand this halacha, this idea. One, you could say, just mamish, plug it in. So how much money would I pay to not have a stomach ache? And then you work that out, and if it's, you know, if someone's net worth is $1,000, so if you pay $200, so then that's okay, fine.
Is he
but
no.
This is the binyan. This is
going to say the second way.
The binyan Shlomo just apply. He says we can make a kol shekin from avaz es avaz yosmi chomesh. Now the question is, when we what?
Okay.
Why? Because if you don't have to spend more than a fifth of your money, so we for sure say the same thing about you getting a headache. Now the question is, how do we treat this kol shekin? So you can treat this kol shekin with a dayo, and you can say it's mamish the exact same. How much money would I pay to avoid the pain that I'm going to go through? Right? That's one way to understand. Rav Moshe has this svara and a tshuva about somebody who was in a, what's the word? I don't know if it was an asylum, but somebody who had mental illness, and he wanted to leave. He recovered and wanted to leave. So he had to get a chauffeur. And the doctor said, look, he's recovered, but we want him to stay here like under observation for a couple of weeks because we're afraid he might relapse. So Rav Moshe quoted this in a very short piece, say that his health is, you know, going to win the day, and that's going to be Dochel Mitzvah to get a chauffeur. But the other way to say it is that, no, it's a kol shekin, but across the board. Meaning, if a chomesh of your money will pater you from Mitzvah Saseh, then a danger to your health, any danger to your health. That's what Rav Shach was saying on Friday. It was, right, if we could say, if it's a chomesh of your money, is docha mitzvah saseh, then across the board, a danger to your health, your body is more important than your money. So, what?
It depends if you're a tzaddik or not. If you're a tzaddik, so then your money's more important.
That's true, right? Really, yes, yeah, exactly, right. Yesh chadom
shemono chavla begufa. That's true, but there's also the Gemara in the Kulin about
that's right. Pagmatanim. Yes, okay, but he wasn't taking lasting. He wasn't taking real damage there. So we saw the last few. But it was these a couple of tshuvas from Rav Asher Weiss, because Rav Asher Weiss is directly addressing the celiac issue. Because what happens with celiacs is it's a immune reaction, and over time those build up and those really damage the intestine. So he quotes, he says, if you have any, he calls nezek bilti hafich, b'ma'arechet kol shehi. So if you have any irreversible damage in any framework, so that, he says, is in the geder, not of mechush, not of cholash ein bo sakana. He says that's in the geder of sakanas aver. He says, what do you mean sakanas aver? What the guy feels is he feels a bad stomachache, maybe for a day, maybe for a week, doesn't matter. But he says that's sakanas aver because what's happening to that person is he is suffering small. It could be marecha kol shehi, but it is lasting damage. So that, he says, sakanas aver, so if someone is celiac, if someone has an allergic reaction, he says it's usher for the person to be dochek atzmo. He says if you have somebody who has just a stomach ache, you know, so let's say it's somebody who had just like a digestive sensitivity, and for some reason the spelt isn't working for him, so then he said, man up and take this sensitivity. I'm not sure if we got the same, we seem to be getting a more makel sense on Friday, but didn't totally pin that down. But definitely in this area, this is definitely an important shiloh to ask, because what the exact condition is going to all plug in, right? Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Are people able to figure out, like, if they're gluten intolerant or gluten sensitive? Is that something that they're able to know?
So again, so there are two different things, right? There are allergic reactions to gluten. And then, like, every, you know, you have people who they smell peanut butter and, you know, they're in trouble.
I'm Tim Marshall, yeah.
Exactly. So you have different levels of gluten allergy. And then you also have digestive issues.
Yeah.
People who have struggle digesting wheat. That's not an allergy. That's not an allergy.
Yeah.
Right? That's just their body can't, that struggles to break down the wheat. So those are two totally different things. So every person knows his or her exact matzav.
The person that is digesting insulin, do they know if they're doing permanent damage to their body or not? Is that something they can figure out? Or is that something they're obligated to figure out if they should be eating matzah or not? I'm thinking about someone who comes to me and he's asking me, he's a 16-year-old kid,
right,
and he doesn't eat gluten and now his stomach feels much better. Right?
Right.
And he's asking me, my student, he says, what should I do about matzah? Not his own. The whole battery of tests that we just did to give you your diet, go back to those tests and ask your doctor to confirm and you make lasting damage on your body or not, whether you're going to eat matzah. You hear what I'm saying? Like, to get really practical,
He should know what he has. Does he have a digestive wheat sensitivity, in which case other grains he might not have a problem with at all?
Right.
Does he?
I think practically monopoly people know the difference. Like, I'm familiar with a lot of fungus though.
Yeah.
It's a two totally different bones.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the real celiac, like if you have celiac, you know you have celiac.
Okay.
I think it's also a wheat to digestion
and cannot eat.
I think those are very different things.
And can't eat any wheat, period.
What?
She doesn't eat any wheat.
Why not? Sorry?
She's some kind of digestion issue with anything with gluten.
That would just be called highly sensitive.
So is that a thing?
That doesn't go in this category.
So it's so someone who's highly sensitive, so now it's a shy. So it sounded from the tshuva from Rav Asher Weiss like he would stop, probably say you should push yourself. The impression we were getting from Rav Shachter was that Rav Shachter seemed much more makel.
Rav Shachter said, the person's going to get a stomachache.
Yeah, then he said don't.
Exactly.
Even though the guy before is not necessarily Nofel Mishkov.
So that's Rav Shachter, the Shittas, or Rav
Shachter.
Right.
Assumes that Nofel Mishkov just means he can't function normally.
Right,
meaning the chilek that the Mishnah Berurah seems to make, he just put it all on one side.
We're all on the same page. The Nofel Mishkov doesn't mean right now, or Nofel Mishkov means if you would do this, would you become Nofel Mishkov, right? Correct? We would have Shabbos also.
That's a separate din which comes up in El Shabbos, prophylactic. Not mitigation of Shechter assumes that also.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because in this case you have to take on that. I'm not
authorized. Right. So there's no question, by and large, the Natia here is going to be, you know, we're going to be telling more people don't do it than do. And for sure, the, you know, somewhat celiac.
His rush or waste leaves off with, but you the rush should be familiar with the real shiur of Katana of Kazayas, so
Right, which goes back to the Rosh Chodesh Ma'aseh that we mentioned before. Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead.
Shaya, everybody.
Tell the person, here's your kizakis.
Exactly. Exactly.
What do people do? They don't eat matzah? Or
they don't eat matzah.
So you want to? So you're pater. If someone mamish is celiac,
oh, so Rav
now right. So Rav Dovah Cohen right, will have those who hold the votes will say have votes, and those who don't hold votes will say.
That's not from Mishkov. He just has a stomachache.
So that's what we're talking about. So now you turn. Now it turns to you ask. How do we define no flu Mishkov?
Or what's not what?
So how do we define it?
They both agree you're not Mishkov.
Well, no, if you're Nofel Mishkov, then you're Pater.
No,
not if you're Nofel Mishkov.
He's saying there's a reason to be Mach, right? He's saying, when Nofel Mishkov, he says, the
I think he said, did he say if he's Nofel Mishkov, he can if he wants to?
Yeah.
There are Hasidus.
Hasidus,
okay, top roll of Bracha.
Let's just distract everyone.